As white as it gets. But turn in your Bibles again, Matthew chapter 5. We did not finish verse 5. It was just a real short verse, but man, we didn't get through it. 40 minutes worth, and we just did get through it. But we will get through it today and hopefully get on to the next one. Good to have you here. Nice crowd this morning. Very good to see everybody. So let's start out this morning with a word of prayer, and we will go ahead and get started. Brother Kativer, could you please lead us in prayer this morning? Amen. Thank you very much. Last week, if you remember, I gave you a quote from Charles Spurgeon that said, "They that have the best of the world are the ones that think the least of it." You got to understand, when the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," that does not say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world." The world is a lot different than the earth. I want to take you to a scripture real quickly. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. We, as Americans, as a matter of fact, I believe that they would see this a lot more in America than they see this anywhere else, but I believe that the Filipinos would be honest. When they go out on deputation throughout the United States of America, we have got to be probably the greatest country of complainers that they run into. We don't think anything is good. Doesn't matter what, if your hair is a girl, if your hair is blonde, you'll dye it brown. If your hair is brown, you'll dye it blonde. If you're a guy that gets gray hair, you're going to want to make it brown again. If you're a big guy, you want to be small. If you're a small guy, you want to be big. If you're short, you want to be tall. If you're tall, you want to be short. There's no being happy as an American. You can say amen to that because you know it's true, okay? We are just not happy unless we are complaining about something. When we talk about the earth, and I always got to wondering, we talked about this a little bit last week, but we always wonder, what in the world would we want to do with this earth anyhow? I want to show you a couple of scriptures. I want to start in Genesis chapter 1. I want to start in verse 9. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land what? He called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called what? So he's got the earth and the seas, and God saw that it was good." You got to understand something, folks. God created what we walk on. If it's not good, it's our fault. Because I'm going to be honest with you, up until the time that we showed up, it was good. Up until the time that we graced the presence of the earth was good. As soon as man showed up, man doubted what God hath said, and then sin entered in, and it's been downhill ever since. But I'm going to be honest with you, the more that you think about this, the more that you think about blessed are the meek people, and the reason that the Bible says you can live a blessed life if you are meek, the reason it says that is because you realize the greatness and the gift that God has given us of the earth. I'm going to tell you, this is a gift that we're living on. This, if you think, just stop and think. I'm not talking about the pollution, the smog, the crime, all these other things that are going on. Forget about that. That's our fault. If you think about the earth, what God has blessed us with, that we can inherit while we're living here, this is beautiful what we live on. Good night. Think about, again, the fall colors. Think about, again, the beautiful rivers and lakes. Think again about how wonderful it is to be in America and how beautiful that country is. Start showing pictures of Brother Arts, the Philippines, beautiful there. The only thing that makes it bad is us. I thank God for what he gave us that is called the earth. If you read on, God said, let the earth bring forth grass. I got to be honest with you. You know, we talk about mowing the grass and complain about it, but you know what? It sure is beautiful when it's mowed. The herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. You like fruit? Glory to God. Whose seed is in itself? It's pretty good that it's in itself because we can use the fruit to make more fruit. Glory to God. Upon the earth, and it was so, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, a tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And I don't like winter, but God saw that it was good. and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Thank God that we've got light. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Listen, Christian, He put a lot of work and effort into what He did in the first few days of our creation. He did a lot of work and put a lot of effort in to make things beautiful and gorgeous. What's amazing is we don't take time to stop and think how beautiful the stars are. We don't take time to think how beautiful the blue sky is. Of course, we don't see much blue sky here, but we don't take much time to see how wonderful it is that we live on a place that's beautiful and gorgeous. Man, do you ever thank God for gravity one time? I know that's foolish, and I know that sounds silly, but I'm telling you, it's great that we don't float away. If we think in along the lines of the fact that we ought to realize how great our Savior, we got to realize how great our Creator is, if we would take the time to realize those things, it's amazing how meek you become in the awesomeness that is our Creator. I mean, put salvation aside for a minute. If He never gave us anything else but what we have, how wonderful is that? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The beautiful, wonderful creation called the earth. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Anything that's a mess in the world is our fault, because God made it wonderful. It's easy to understand, and it's easy to be happy, and it's easy to be blessed if you understand that God has given us many things. And I think that that's what the Beatitudes, I think that's what Christ was crying out to the people on the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to live a blessed life, if you want to live a life that's truly happy and blessed, be thankful for what I've given you. Don't strive for the things that you can't have. Don't strive for the things that are out of your reach. Because so many things are right in our reach. So many things are so simple to find. You go out of the church property, you'll find an apple tree. You'll find an apple tree. Now, I didn't plant that apple tree. But somehow that apple tree is there. And if you'll think for 1 minute, it sounds silly. It sounds silly to talk about these things, but I got to be honest with you. How much of a gift is it that we've got a fruit-bearing tree right there on our church property? And if you're hungry, stop by and pick an apple. We've got blackberries all along the side of the woods. Blackberries just laying there. How did those get there? Thank you, God. I'm going to be honest with you. We look at so many things, and like I said before, and I'll say it again, if you walk around with a person that truly thanks God for things, you're going to see things a lot differently. Amen. I walked around with Brother Coolidge just one time, and he made me be thankful to God for things. Amen. I never even noticed before. It's amazing to me, and Brother Art's going to talk about this later, but in the midst of a landslide, claiming lives of his church people, he says, I thank God that he showed me his providence. Are you serious? I would to God we could thank God in the hard times. I would to God we'd be meek enough to understand that all things are controlled by him. You want to live a blessed life and smile a little bit? Remember that there's an apple tree out on Infirmary Road, and it makes no sense why it's there, except God put it there. And I don't know, you don't know why, and I know that sounds silly, but blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Look at verse 6. Moving on to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. I know you thought we'd never get there. Don't worry, after I start preaching this, you wish we'd go back. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after video games. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after things that they can't afford. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after McDonald's hamburgers. Nothing wrong with McDonald's hamburgers, but there's nothing right with it either, I'll tell you that. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after spending all their money at Walmart. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. Only he said amen. All the men were saying it too. You just didn't shout it loud enough. Dr. Jim Delischmidt always used to say, bury me at Walmart because my wife will visit me every day. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We are in a country right now, and we are part of it as Christians. You can't get away from this. We've stopped hungering, and we've stopped thirsting for righteousness. We are more than willing, Brother Art, we're more than willing in America to be tolerant and to be accepting of sin. Not only tolerant and accepting, but participants. Don't you think for 1 minute that the things, we're getting gambling in Ohio. Woohoo! Our state is saved. What's amazing is it takes 5 times to get that passed. But they'll never put it on the docket to get turned down again. Well, it got passed. Let's have another vote, see if we can shoot it down. I'm going to be honest with you. We've ceased seeking and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. What's amazing is this. It's amazing that the Lord uses both appetites. You ever think about that for a minute? Uses both appetites. Now, we live in America. We don't really experience hunger. Oh, you can say what you want to say, but you've been blessed. You don't really experience hunger. Hunger that makes your belly swell. Hunger that you haven't had food for days. Good Lord, we go without food for 3 hours in America. We've been fasting. I'm praying for something, man. I've been fasting for 3 hours. I'm about ready to starve. It's amazing. When I was 250 pounds, I said I was starving all the time. Man, I'm starving. Starving, I just ate 30 minutes ago. It's amazing that the Lord uses hungering. Christian, I got a question for you. Do you even realize that you're starving? Oh, man, that's good. If you'd wrap your head around that just for 1 minute, do you even realize, Christian, in this room? Hey, this is a good, it's a great crowd for Sunday school. I'm excited about it. Probably go back down after this week. But let me explain something to you. We as Christians have never starved for righteousness. Right. I've never starved for righteousness. I've never been to the point where, listen, I am not going to make it another minute unless I have some righteousness. If you're hungry, this is so good if you just think about why the Lord does this. If you're hungry, what do you think of? Come on now. If you're hungry, what are you thinking of? If you're starving, what are you thinking of? You're thinking of food, man. You've got to get something. And you get so hungry, this is the way human condition is. You get so hungry, you'll eat just about anything. There's people that go into trash cans for food. And by the way, American trash cans are like smorgasbords in other countries. We here throw away a half a hamburger. Other countries, a half a hamburger feeds a family. We laugh as Americans. We've never hungered. Blessed are they that would do hunger and thirst. You ever been thirsty? I mean parched. I don't think we have. I don't think we've been to the point where we haven't been allowed to have anything to drink. Where water would sound just like the greatest thing ever. Just a drink, just a small drink. I think of the rich man that went to hell. Oh, Lord, just let that old, dirty beggar, just let him dip his finger in water. Just to put a dirty, rotten, dirty finger, you got no problem with the drip of water coming off that finger because you're so thirsty. Right. Right. Thank you. So what you've got is you've got a condition of life that the Lord likens us to. Lord likens you to a position where you would live a blessed life if you starve for righteousness. You live a blessed life if you're parched for righteousness. Live a blessed life if you will not allow yourself to think in the lines of it's okay for sin to be here. It's okay for sin to be. And you got to understand, this is in a line of several statements, one right after another, a line of several statements of how to live a blessed life. We talked about blessed are the poor in spirit, coming to a realization of who your spirit is and coming to a realization that your spirit truly is poor. Then in the next statement it says, realizing, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, mourning over that poor spirit, realizing that the condition that we're in is not such a good condition, and mourning, feeling bad over that. Then it comes to the next part, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, realizing that your situation, although is poor, although is mourning, you have a great thing to look forward to, that the gifts that God has given you. Then he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's only one place that you're going to find righteousness. Only one. You can search the world. You're not going to find righteousness except in one spot. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after the righteousness, and the place that you're going to find it is in Christ. There's no other place you're going to find it. We will try to find righteousness in baptism. We'll try to find righteousness in doing good things. We'll try to find righteousness even in praying for each other. But righteousness is only found in Christ. All of our righteousness is what? So if you're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to have to hunger and thirst for something that only Christ can give. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's amazing to me. Think of the appetites of hunger and thirst. Interesting that Jesus preaches both of these, focused on his righteousness, not on the individual's righteousness. That's what brings a blessed life. In Isaiah 64, 6, this hunger and thirst can not only be, well, you know what, turn there. I'm not just going to read it. I'm going to take my time. There's no reason to rush this. Isaiah, if I only made it through a half a verse last week, it's no big deal that we stop and read this. 64 in verse 6. I want to take our time to read this. I quoted it to you, but I want you to read this. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Every single one of us are the same way. Not, it doesn't say all except Pastor Dave. It doesn't say all except Brother Art Carpio. It doesn't say, and Brother Art is a fine man, a good Christian, great preacher, but he is still filthy rag righteousness. Like the wind have taken us away, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, oh, I love this verse following up. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, thou art, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. See, I'm so thankful that you understand, you get to understand that the first three verses are dealing with, I really don't have much to offer. But there's a daddy. There's a daddy that died for you. There's a Savior that loves you. And he loves you just where you are. He doesn't wait for you to become right to love you. He doesn't wait for you to ascend to a different level of Christianity before he looks down and says, now I'll receive you. He doesn't wait for you to start doing the right things or start going to the right places. He doesn't wait for you to stop drinking alcohol. He doesn't wait for you to stop doing drugs. He doesn't wait for you to stop doing those things. I know Brother Art's testimony. I know he used to be a drunkard. I know he used to do those things. And God didn't wait for Art to get right before he said, I'm going to save that man. He waited for you to say, save me. That's all. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, because you will eventually be filled. I'm so thankful that the Lord is very patient with us concerning his righteousness. I'm so thankful that the Lord is very patient with me. And here's the great thing. You get saved. Boy, it's a good thing he doesn't lose his patience with us after we get saved. It's a good thing. I mean, I know all you saved people out there never do anything wrong, but you're looking at somebody that does something wrong just about every 3 seconds. I thank God he still has mercy with me. I thank God he still sees me and says, oh, man, you are a mess. And I still love you. My son this morning gets dressed in his church clothes. He never does any mischief. Mischief would be light for him is what. My wife gets up and gets him all dressed, teeth brushed, ready for church. Every morning my son doesn't, for some reason he doesn't, he's not a breakfast guy, he doesn't get up in the morning and eat breakfast and get something to drink, never does. But this morning, dressed and ready to go, sweet boy, grabs himself a Yoo-Hoo and squirts himself with it. Sweet boy. I was not happy that he was hungering and thirsting at that moment, I'll tell you that right now. But he's my son. He's my son, and there's nothing he could do to make me stop loving him. There's nothing he could do to make me cease to be his father. Christian, there's nothing you can do to have you cease being God's child. Now, I know that a lot of folks, well, you're just preaching liberty to sin. Yeah, I am. But for somebody that died for you, you surely don't want to go out and sin. You certainly don't want to go out and do wrong. You're going to do wrong, but you don't want to. My son never likes to disappoint Dad. He doesn't. But he does sometimes. And I forgive him. And I love him. And I hug his neck. I kiss him on his head. And whip his hind end. No, I'm just... Don't think it's any different with you. See, God knows you do, you're going to do something wrong. In Art, when you do something wrong like you did, just I'm sure a few minutes ago when you prayed for me to stop preaching, God looks down and he says, my son, I know you messed up, but I love you. And there's not enough you can do to break this fellowship. There's not enough you can do. See, if you understand that righteousness, if you can come to grips with that righteousness, if you can come to grips with how holy he is and how much he loves you, you'll start to hunger and thirst for that righteousness. That's the righteousness that we should be hungering for. Not a man-made righteousness, a God-made righteousness. If you look, we would live a life hungering and thirsting for that. And I know it's easy to preach on sin. There's so much of it. But I'm going to be honest with you. I believe sin is a symptom. Sin is a symptom. It is what you do when you don't hunger for righteousness. It's what you do when you don't thirst for righteousness. I understand that we're sinners. I get that. We're never going to get rid of this condition until we get to heaven. Never going to get rid of it. It's an old, dead, rotting corpse that's on us, and we just can never shake loose of it. But that doesn't mean that we can't understand what it is. Reckon ourselves dead to it, and don't yield to it anymore. Amen. Hunger and thirst after his righteousness. Because eventually, there's going to be a day, Brother Hart, when we walk through heaven. Oh, man. I hope nobody wears shoes in heaven. Yeah, most of you ladies have already had your shoes off for 25 minutes. Walking the streets of gold. Feeling the cool grass. smelling the cooking steak on the grill. Don't think there's not going to be barbecue in heaven. Oh, you're crazy. The only thing that's not going to be in heaven is meatloaf. You can take that to the bank. You know why I know that? You know why I know that? Because I don't believe there's going to be roadkill anywhere in heaven, and you're not going to be able to use that for your meatloaf. But the greatest thing about heaven is we get to be with the one who is righteous. Amen. And we take on his righteousness. Amen. No more sin. No more hatred. No more backbiting. Amen. No more gossip. There's no back pews in heaven. No backsliders in heaven. No people that talk about each other and hate each other. No more of that. We will be filled with his righteousness. But while we're here, we ought to hunger for it. While we're here, we ought to thirst for it. We really ought to. It ought to be something that we desire, to have his righteousness. We ought to desire that. Next verse, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. We could just about park there, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. That you could park the golden rule right here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When is the last time you showed mercy? I'm not talking the easy mercy for people you love. That mercy's easy. Can you show mercy for somebody that you don't love? Can you show mercy for somebody that's maybe not so lovely? Can you show mercy for someone that doesn't come to your church anymore? Boy, that was quiet, not one amen. Dr. Gray made a statement one time, and I've never let loose of it. Would there ever be a time that if somebody walked in this room and sat next to you, it would ruin your church service? You're thinking of that person right now, aren't you? Oh, yeah! If they walked in here, I'd just walk out. I couldn't even imagine them coming into this church anymore. Could you imagine having somebody, a soul, somebody that needs Christ? So I can't even imagine having somebody walk into this church that you wouldn't have stay. But I have had people in my past that if they sat in the same room with me, I'd have trouble getting through the church service. Is there somebody like that with you? Is there somebody that you're unwilling to show mercy to? Is there somebody in your life that you're unwilling to show compassion for? Because mercy is not something that's just free. Mercy is something that has to be given. You'll pay a price for it, this mercy. You'll pay a price and it may hurt. I hear, if you even could add up with a dollar every time this preacher said, well, this person did this to me and I can't forgive them. I would come to church, but there's something that happened to me from one of your church members, and that church member did this, 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 and this. Are you a child of God? And willing to not show forgiveness or mercy? Because I've got to be honest with you. If I review my life, Brother Mike, if I review my life, somebody along the way showed me mercy. Somebody that this dirty, rotten sinner, somebody showed me kindness. Somebody showed me love. Well, they don't dress like you. Somebody showed me love. Well, they don't talk like you. Somebody showed me mercy. Well, they don't act like you. They don't dress like you. They don't put on a tie to come to church. Glory to God, I can't wait. I hope that the man that made the tie was a saved man. Because I'm going to spend eternity chasing him around with my foot. If you think preachers like ties, you're crazy. These foul nooses that we put around our necks every morning, good Lord have mercy. And I'll wear a tie every time I preach. Don't misread me. I want to look the best I can for my Lord. But I'm going to tell you, moving to the Philippines is sounding better all the time. Because I feel wearing a barong is always barite. I would to God, mercy would come to us like breathing. I would to God, mercy would come to us like second nature. I would to God mercy would be our first thought, not our last resort. I would to God we were to replace judgment with kindness. And I, see, this is where the balance comes in, Christian. I can't explain the balance. I know there needs to be judgment for sin. I know that there needs to be crying out against sin, preacher. There's got to be. But there's got to be a balance of that. There's got to be a balance of mercy. Because I'm going to be honest with you. When Jesus Christ judged me, he showed mercy. I would to God that we would show mercy first and help somebody work through the judgment. Then have them, you prove to me, and then I'll show you mercy. God never asked me to prove anything. God never asked me to be good to be saved. God just said, call on me. In your present condition, I will accept you. And I understand. I don't want somebody coming in here and doing crystal meth on the front pew. But if they did it out in the parking lot, I don't want them to leave. There's got to be a balance of mercy. There's got to be judgment, but there's got to be mercy. Blessed are they which show mercy. Because if you show it, you're going to receive it. I've fallen prey to this several times in my life, and I know that nobody in this room has. But I've said things about people that I desperately regret. I've made statements I would to God I could take back. Your mouth is a sepulcher. It really is. What's scary is from the abundance of your heart is where the filth comes out of your mouth. That's a scary thought if you really, really put it to Scripture. It's really scary. And there's times that I have said things that I desperately, desperately regret. I would to God I would think of mercy first. I would to God you would think of mercy first. I would to God that you would think before you judge somebody that you would think of mercy. See, what happened as a payback for me saying something about somebody else, it's amazing how those somebody else's always find out. You weren't brave enough to tell them to their face. Oh, that's good preaching right there. You weren't brave enough to tell them to their face what you thought. You weren't brave enough to tell them to their face. You had to go to Brian Stevens and tell him what you thought of them. So now Brian Stevens has a bad opinion of them and you. And so the gossip chain starts, and by the time it gets back to the person, so blown out of proportion, you lose. Because the person will find out. There's no confidence. Don't think for one, I got a friend that I'm so confident they'll never tell. No, they'll tell. And they'll find out because God will make sure they found out, you dirty rat. I've lived with that a lot of times. You learn quickly that if you look in the mirror, you'll stop talking of others. A great upside is, if you say something nice about somebody, they also find out. Did you know that? You say something nice about somebody, they find out that too. And then what's amazing is, I say something nice about Brother Tom to Brother Mark, and Brother Mark thinks more of me and Tom. See how that works? Blessed are they that show mercy, for they're going to get mercy back. See, and I know you're going to receive mercy from the Heavenly Father, but you realize if we showed each other mercy as humans, we showed each other mercy. How many of you ever chalked up being mad at the preacher to him having a bad day? Ooh, no amens, preacher. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how preacher gets blamed. And I'm not going to bat for him here. Oh, he's my dad, and I don't care if I go to bat for him or not. You don't like it? There's doors that we can all go out. Who else are you going to go to bat for? You can't go to bat for your family. Who else are you going to go to bat for? There's days that the preacher has a bad day. And maybe he dealt with you short on the phone, and you never forgive him for it. It's amazing how people leave the church because the preacher didn't call you on your birthday, you dirty, rotten rat. He would stay with you all night long in the hospital if you were there. Why don't you give us a little bit of a credit here? Blessed are they that show mercy, for someday you're going to need mercy back. How did you get mean in mercy? I don't understand that. Listen to me now. The Lord, you got to understand who's preaching in this sermon here. The Lord is preaching here. He's showing you to have mercy. Because there's going to be a day, Christian, friend, brother and sister, there's going to be a day when we need to have some back. there's going to be a day when we need mercy. Because your bad day's coming. Oh, I would to God. Listen to your Savior. I would to God that we could show each other mercy. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, but also be willing to show mercy. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity again to preach. Lord, I need you to anoint the services today. Lord, I'm looking for a special blessing today. Show yourself in a mighty way. Go up and down every single pew, Lord. Have a moving of your Holy Spirit here today. Anoint my friend. Oh, anoint my friend, Brother Art, today. Let him preach with your power. Let him preach with your wisdom. Oh, Lord, let him only say what you'd have him to say. Lord, he's a good man, but he's nothing without you. Lord, you truly have made him a great man. Lord, don't ever take your hand off of him. Bless his lovely wife. Lord, they're away from their children right now. They're hurting inside for their people in that landslide. Lord, calm his heart. Give him peace. Give him mercy. And Lord, be with us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.